The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, just have your seat wherever you are. I have just 58 minutes and I'm down from here. Amen. You know, God is working wonders in my life. He's helping me to keep to time. Hallelujah. Okay, you know, this conference is should I call it the biggest Christian conference in southeast of Nigeria? I'm telling you, it's one of those conferences whereby you come on Thursday evening, as I'm going back on Sunday afternoon, your life can never be the same. It can never. In fact, if it remains the same, there is a problem with you. I'm telling you, not to the conference. In fact, if by this night your life is still the same, just come and meet us. We'll cut all deliverance on your head. I promise you that. Amen. So I really appreciate God for this meeting. You know, lives have been changed from the first Zoe conference as Abuan. How many of us were there? At that first Zoe conference as Abuan, from that one till now, God has been wrought wonders and He has been doing great things in our midst. You know, this conference is the biggest Zoe conference so far. So if you're just meeting and you've not registered, I don't know what you're waiting for. You know, I don't want to say that you don't make heaven, but then if you've not registered, go outside now. I'm going to give you a minute before I start teaching. So go outside and register. Go and meet the ushers. It's just ₦1,000. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, it's just ₹1,000. Look at the person eyeball to eyeball. Tell the person, it's just ₹1,000. Oh, 500. Just make it 1,000. Amen. The Lord will bless you. Hallelujah. I want to appreciate my pastor, my bishop, my lead pastor. Amen. Just stand on your feet and appreciate him for me. Amen. Father, we beg for forgiveness. We are sorry. We did not appreciate very well. All right. Now, where we've asked for forgiveness. Come on, let's appreciate Papa. Come on, appreciate Papa for me. Is that how you appreciate Pastor for me? Hallelujah. In case you don't know him, he is the person that raised me in Christianity, raised me in ministry. So when I say appreciate him, I am telling you appreciate him. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Have your seat. Today, I'm going to talk on something. If you've registered, you should have your program outline. Okay, look at that. I'm going to talk on, there is forgiveness in Him. There is forgiveness in Him. You know, when Pastor announced the theme for this particular Zoe conference, that should be last year, you know, one of the first things that I began to ponder on is, what does Christus really mean? What does Christus really mean? You see, and I saw it as the kindness of God. So, this meeting is one of those meetings whereby if you come as you are going home, you must have a knowledge of God and the kindness of God. Hallelujah. You know, there is a book that is coming up tomorrow. How many of us know that? There is one book that is coming up tomorrow. I have my own money ready. It's in my wallet. You see, and that book is titled, The God That You Never Knew. The God that you never knew. Let me give you an advice. You better go and pay for that book in advance. Did you hear what I said? Sir, what is the amount? I don't know. Just hold ₦10,000 already. Amen. Better go and pay for that book in advance. Why I'm telling you to do that is because that book is one of those books that will revolutionize your life. It's one of those books that will change the perspective and how you see God. Amen. So, Christos means the kindness of God. And you must have the correct knowledge of God's nature. As a believer, you must know what is God's nature. If you don't know who God is and His nature, you cannot really approach Him. Come on, do you understand what I'm trying to say? You cannot really approach God if you don't know His nature. Who is God? How does He behave? What is His nature like? How does He talk? What is His character like? So you must begin to know what is God and His nature. Praise God. And then we are going to look at an aspect of God's nature today. And one of those attributes is found in Psalm chapter 130. Psalm 130, look at verse 3. Psalm 130, verse 3. You should be in this meeting with your Bible. Amen. So open your Bible or punch your Bible. Anyone you are doing, just punch. Psalm 130, verse 3. Come on, are we there? If you are not there, tell me, wait for me. But you have to hurry. Look at Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4. I say, for thou, Lord, if thou mark iniquity, who shall stand? You know, I used to tell them in church, they say, this verse, we tell that if God counts the iniquities of men, nobody can stand in his presence. So the psalmist in this place said, for thou, O Lord, if thou shalt mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But then look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, but there is forgiveness with thee. So the psalmist said, Lord, if we should start counting the sins of men before thy presence, if we should start recording the righteous deeds of men before thy presence, it is not possible. Come on, do you get that? It is impossible for any man to stand before thee. But then the psalmist continued and said, but thou, O Lord, there is forgiveness with thee. So the psalmist is trying to tell us that forgiveness is actually a part of God's nature. Come on, amen. Forgiveness is actually a part of God's nature. So anywhere you see God, you ought to see forgiveness. Hallelujah. Anywhere you see God, you ought to see forgiveness. So the psalmist says, but then there is forgiveness with thee. So if the Lord comes into a situation, he's coming with forgiveness. Come on, hallelujah. If the Lord comes into a sinful place, he's actually not coming with the eyes of a fearing, angry God. No, he is actually coming with forgiveness. Come on, hallelujah. Look at that same Psalm chapter 86. Look at the fifth verse of that Psalm 86. I'm going to be fast today. Psalm 86, verse 5. For thou, O Lord, thou art good. Hallelujah. I love this name. For thou, O Lord, thou art good and ready to forgive. Ready to forgive. So the Lord is good and he's ready to forgive. So when you see God, he is good. He's ready to forgive. And the psalmist did not stop there. David went further and said, and thou art plenteous in mercy. Come on, hallelujah. So the Lord is good. He's ready to forgive. And he's plenteous in mercy. This is the nature of God. This is the attribute of God. God is merciful. God is ready to forgive. God has excess mercy to give. You know, Pastor said yesterday that God is a... How do you say it again? The Lord is... on a Mr. Park, I heard, thank you. Amen. If you don't understand it, we'll praise God. Don't worry, you will learn it before you go on Sunday. Amen. So the Lord actually gives mercy. That is his attributes. It is not a part of what he does. Now, understand something here. You see, forgiveness is not what God does. It is actually what God is. Come on, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Forgiveness is not what God does. You know, when you say forgiveness is what he does, it means that sometimes he can decide not to do it, right? But then forgiveness is what he is. Because the psalmist said, for thou, O Lord, thou art good. Come on, do you understand? So the psalmist said, the Lord, you are good, and you are ready to forgive, and you are plenteous of mercy. So the psalmist was not mentioning a work of God. He was mentioning an attribute of God. Come on, hallelujah. So anywhere you see God, you must see forgiveness. Anywhere the Lord appears, forgiveness must appear. Look at Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3. How come I'm reading Psalm 3 today? Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3. Now, this is David. From verse 1, this is David. A psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his only name, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Now, what are those benefits? Verse 3. He forgives all thy iniquities. So, this is one of the benefits that we receive from God. He forgives all thy iniquities. So, with God, there is forgiveness.
So David was telling his soul, he said, bless the Lord. Why? Because the Lord forgives him all his iniquities. So when God wants to forgive, he said, listen closely to this. When God wants to forgive, God does not forgive one sin and leave the other. God forgives all the iniquities. That is how he is. God is not selective in forgiveness. He does not say, okay, I'm going to forgive you for lying, but then I'm not going to forgive you for stealing. No, he does not do that. David said, for the Lord forgives all thy iniquities. So the nature of God is that God is a God that forgives all sin. So the sin that you can remember and the ones that you cannot remember, the ones you committed by omission and by commission, both unknowingly and knowingly, the Lord forgives all of them. Hallelujah. Both the ones you remember and the ones you don't remember. Amen. How many of us pray that prayer? If you did not pray that, that means that you got saved newly. Amen. Amen. So David says, the Lord forgives all thy iniquities. Now, look at Daniel chapter 9. I'm not going to read Psalm again. Daniel chapter 9. You see, there is something Daniel said that I love. Daniel chapter 9, verse 9. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, are you there? Are you there? You ought to be looking into your Bible. Amen. You open your Bible first before you write. To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness. So the Lord belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. So to God belongs the mercy and the forgiveness. So with God is mercy and forgiveness appearing. So when God steps into a sin, or when God is somewhere, there is mercy and forgiveness. So as a believer, you ought to understand the nature of God when it has to do with the forgiveness of sin. That is my job this morning. You must begin to understand that forgiveness is not what God does once in a while. Forgiveness is not something he does when he's happy. Forgiveness is part of his nature. Come on, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Forgiveness is part of God's nature. It is not what he does when men appease him. It is not what he does when men beg him. No, God does not forgive men because they said sorry. You know, you don't go to a court of law and you tell them sorry that I stole, that I robbed First Bank, and they say, no problem, we're forgiving you. Thank you for saying sorry. Can you do that? No, you can't. You see, forgiveness is not what God does because you said sorry. Forgiveness is a part of God's nature. And as a believer, you must begin to know that. You must begin to see that. It must become practical in your life. Peter was writing, and Peter said, you see, most believers, they have not become, their Christian life have not become active. Why? Because they have not learned these truths. They have forgotten that their sins are forgiven. So you must begin to know these truths. You must begin to know consciously every day, by the minute, by the second, that you have the forgiveness of sin. That as a believer, you are operating in the forgiveness of sins. You see, every day you must realize that. So forgiveness is a part of God's nature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, very popular Bible passage. But then let's look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 17 to 19. I like Paul's usage of 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 19. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, glory to God. This is one of my most favorite Bible passages. He's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, to which that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. You know, the Greek word for that word reconciling is the Greek word katalazo. And it means to make peace with someone. You know, it does not mean two people coming together to make peace. No, it means one person taking up that job of making peace. Come on, do you understand? You know, when people want to reconcile, or when they want to make a peace deal, they come to a round table and they have agreements, right? They say, okay, you will not come into my land, I will not come into your land, my children, they will not throw whatever to your side. That is another type of reconciliation. But this type that God did, you know, man was by himself. God did it. Come on, do you understand? It was God that stepped up the motion. So God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. So the world was still in rebellion. So, but God decided that even though, so that is why you saw Paul making statements that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. So, you see, forgiveness is not what God decided to do because we decided to get back to him. No, it was something he did because he wanted to do it. You didn't set anything in motion. He just extended that his hand to you. So Paul said, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. So this is what God did. Not imputing their trespasses against them, has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. So in my notes, I wrote something. I said, the forgiveness of sin is not God's response to man's plea. It is an independent act of God. Let me repeat that. The forgiveness of sin is not God's response to man's plea. You understand what I mean by God's response to man's plea? It is not God's response. It is not God responding to the plea of man. It is not God responding to the, I am sorry, Lord. I am sorry, Lord. No. God does not respond to that because you said it. Did you hear what I said? That you came out and said, Lord, I'm sorry, I stole. That is not what we make God to forgive you. The funny thing is that even before you said it, he has offered you the forgiveness of sins. Before you said it, he has offered it to you. That is to say that it is not dependent on your plea or on your actions. It is just his independent act. You know, he just decided to give it to you. No strings attached. You did not say sorry. You did not say forgive me. He just gave it to you. You know, so yesterday, Papa said we receive salvation. We receive the forgiveness of sin. It was offered to us. We did not ask for it. So, as it has been offered, you see, by believing the gospel, what I did in believing the gospel is I am just receiving this thing that God is giving. Come on, do you understand that? So, when the gospel is preached to you and you believe it, you are just receiving this forgiveness of sin. You see, God has forgiven you, not because you know how to cry. You know, people like us that don't know how to cry, I wonder. See, I wonder what would have happened. We don't know how to cry. We don't know how to tell God to his face. God, I'm sorry. Bye, Aram. I'm amazing you again. I will continue our lives. You see, if it is based on how much tears you shed, there are people that God will forgive more than me. Amen. I don't want to call names, but then there are people that the Lord will forgive more than me. Praise God. But then, thank God it is not based on our tears. Thank God it is not based on how we can beg God for forgiveness. Thank God it is not based on how good we can speak the English of forgiveness. Thank God it is based on his independent act. It is called his grace and mercy. Hallelujah. It is called his grace and mercy. It is just an independent act of God. Nothing attached to it. See, this is one reason why I love God. This is one reason why when most of us give everything we have to ministry. This is one of those reasons. Because while we were yet sinners, he died for us. When we were yet in darkness, he came and rescued us from that darkness. And he translated us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. Without any act from us. Without us adding anything to it. Without us doing anything. We were by ourselves and he came to us. Amen. He came to us and he even translated us. The funny thing, he was the one that moved us. You know, you must begin to see God as God that when he wants to do something, he does it to the end. God does not do things halfway. You know what I said? God does not do things that way. He does not do things and he stops. A lot of the things I say, well, I have tried. Oh yeah, you people should continue. I have tried. Man, you people should continue. No, that is not God. God does things to the uttermost. So you see the writer of Hebrews saying, for God saved us to the uttermost. God does things to the uttermost. So the forgiveness of sin is an independent act of God. God does not wait for apologies from men. That's the truth. God does not wait for apologies from men. Look at Romans chapter 5. Let me show you that before you crucify me. No. Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 6 to verse 10. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 10. Come on, are you there? For when we were yet without strength. When we were yet without strength. Now, when was Paul referring to here? When we were still in sin, right? When we were still in sin, we were without strength. For when we were without strength. In due time, in perfect time, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So when we were without strength, Christ tithe for the ungodly. We were without friends. We don't even have the friends to do anything. We don't have the friends to come to him. He died for us. Look at the next verse, verse 7. For scarcely will a righteous man, will one die. Is anybody have new living? We have preferred new living to this King James. Anybody have new living Bible? Or you are all children of King James? Then we have new living. All right, read from verse 7. New living, oh. Okay, continue. So don't worry, I've got one down. So New Living put it this way. New Living said, for it is actually hard for somebody to die for a righteous man. Now watch it. Though sometimes, if you can be exceptionally good, someone can decide to die for you. So Paul agreed that it is hard for someone to die for a righteous man. So now look at verse 8 now. Verse 8 now says, but God commanded his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, the exact opposite of the righteous man, that people will scarcely die for. Come on, do you understand? Who wrote this? Amen. Hallelujah. Sorry for that. So, verse 8, it says, but God commanded his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners. Come on, do you understand that? So, even though it was hard for somebody to die for a righteous man, for God, he decided not to die for righteous men, but for people that were yet sinners. Come on, do you understand that? So, Paul said, for while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is God extending his forgiveness to man. So why men were still in rebellion? You see, in another place, Paul calls it why we were yet at enmity with God. Not the other way around. We were the ones at enmity with God. God was not at enmity with us. Understand English. English is very, very good. Amen. I know you went to school, so understand it here. You see, man was where at, anyone that is correct, just take it, at enmity with God. Do you see that? So, while we were yet sinners, while we were still in darkness, God died for us. Look at verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood. Being now justified, come on, this is better. This is better. Much more than being now justified by his us to himself. When we were still enemies, he was reconciling also himself. So Paul continued and said, much more than being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The will of God. So his will is that you might be saved. Look at John chapter 1 verse 29. God is a forgiving God. You see, most times, anytime I teach on the forgiveness of sin, one of the statements I love making is, you see, no matter how bad you think that your sins are, no matter how what English am I going to use now? Apart from bad, no matter how bad your sins are, no matter how worsening worse it is, You see, it is still God that will forgive you. You know, it is still his nature to do that. We've been privileged to come across people that have done all kinds of sins that you can think of in this world. You know, when you hear Papa talk, you see he mentioned all kinds of sinners that you can think of in this world. You see people that steal pots in the middle of the night, that steal meat from the pot in the middle of the night. God still forgive them. Amen. You see people that still stole people's earpiece. God still forgive them. I'm telling you, most of you are guilty of that one, but then God has forgiven you. Amen. Even though the owner of the earpiece has not forgiven you, but God himself has forgiven you. You see, even people that have committed all manner of sin, no matter how big or small it is, God is that God that extends that his nature of forgiveness to everybody. He's just that God that extends his nature of forgiveness to everybody. So no matter, you see, if you are here in this conference, you see, one of the things you must know, and one of the things that must enter your unconscious, is it? You have consciousness or consciousness? What's the other one? That is sub, that is non-unconscious. Anyone it is, it must enter all of them. You must know it. Amen. I am not English. I'm an Igbo man. Born and brought up in one time like that. Amen. So you must begin to know. You see, it must enter deep inside you. So they say that even if they tap you up and wake up and you jump up from the bed, the first thing that should come out of your mouth is, I have the forgiveness of sins. I'm telling you, it should come out from your mouth straightforward. It should come out from your mouth that I have the forgiveness of sins. You see, knowing that you have the forgiveness of sin, it will save you from loss of unnecessary depression. You see, here we cannot be depressed. I'm telling you, we cannot be depressed. The devil cannot even think of making us feel guilty. I'm telling you the truth. So can I feel bad? Of course, as a believer, you see, when you fall by the side, you should actually have a feeling of bad. Why is English here this morning? But then you should feel bad small. But then, amen. But then you don't have any right to feel guilty. You don't have any right to dwell in that guilty state. You know the difference between Judas that ate carrots and Peter. How many of us know that Judas that ate carrots? You know that Judas and Peter, you know, the difference between both of them is that they saw, you know, Judas' carrots after he betrayed Jesus. He felt so bad. He felt guilty. Do you understand that? He even took the money back to the temple. He said, take your money, I don't want it again. That was how bad he felt. You know, he was in it for the money. In fact, John told us categorically that Judas was a thief. Oh, you've not read that? Wait, you've not read that from your Bible? He said he was a thief. Yet, Jesus made him the treasurer. Oh, hey, nobody should try that. You see, yeah, Jesus made him the treasurer. That is a talk for another day, man. But then, you see, when he betrayed Jesus and he sold Jesus for 30 pieces or 30 shekels of silver, he felt bad. He went back to the temple. He threw back the money and he went and hung himself on the tree. Now, look at Peter's case. Peter betrayed Jesus. How many times? 3 times. You know the funny thing? It is not just betrayal. It is betrayal in front of a small girl. That is the annoying thing that is annoying me. A small girl said, I know this man. You see, Peter said, me. I swear to God. Me, this man. I've never even met him in my life. Small girl for that matter. Peter, married man like you. With children. Small girl. Jesus, Peter. You see, but then observe something. When Peter was done, as he turned, he saw Jesus looking at him. You know, the first thing that came to Peter was that love that Jesus was extending to him. That even though he denied Jesus 3 times, you know, 3 times, Judas was once, Peter was 3 times, he looked at him, God was still able to restore him. These are 2 different reactions to the same thing. Come on, do you understand now? So you must begin to see that part of God that is willing to forgive you. That part of God that is offering an arm of forgiveness, or that has offered an arm of forgiveness. You must begin to see that part of God. That was the part that Judas did not see. That was the big difference between Judas and the other 11. That was the big difference. You see, and this is one thing that inspired the ministry of Paul. Have you read Paul's writing? Read that guy's writing. You will know this guy experienced the forgiveness of sin firsthand. I'm telling you, he knew where he came from. He knew the sins that he committed. He knew he was persecuting Jesus. You know, when Jesus came to him and asked, Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You see, you are not persecuting the church, you are persecuting me. So Jesus told Paul from the beginning, you are persecuting me. You are the one that you are persecuting. So it was a shocking thing to Paul that even after persecuting Jesus, Jesus still looked at him and told him, your sins are forgiven. The thing sounded somehow to him. It sounded somehow to him. He knew that all the works of the Lord that he has been doing, they are nowhere close. You see, I told them in church, they are nowhere, you see. I said, they are like filthy rags. They are like filthy rags. I told them that, I said, there's a difference between a rag and a filthy rag. Amen. Many of us grew up in African homes. You understand what I'm trying to say? There is that filthy rag outside. There is the rag that is inside. So Isaiah said, you see, our self-righteousness, you see, this was what Paul saw. That his works of the law was actually a filthy rag before God. He has committed so much iniquity. And yet, Jesus looked at him and said, you are forgiven. I'm going to use you. Even if it is me, I will not agree. I will not agree. Look at Ananias. Ananias told Jesus, Jesus, do you know what that man has done? Let us be realistic here. Do you know what that man? That man has killed people in Jerusalem. In fact, the day he was coming to Damascus, he was coming with a convoy of soldiers. Siren blowing everywhere. He was coming to kill us. And Jesus told Ananias, he said, go. I have bigger plans for him. I am going to use him for this thing. I am going to use him to turn Gentiles from darkness to light. That is love. That is forgiveness of sins. Men and brethren, that is God for you. That is just the nature of God. You see, God is a God that does not look at acts. He does not look at works. He looks at his nature. You see, when God wants to do something, he does not look at you. He looks at himself. When God wants to forgive you, he does not look at you. He looks at himself. What is that himself? Himself is that God that is full of forgiveness. The psalmist says, for in him there is the forgiveness of sin. So you must begin to understand that as a believer, you have the forgiveness of sin. You see, look at John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John the Baptist sees Jesus coming. John the Baptist sees Jesus coming unto him. And John the Baptist cried aloud. And he said, behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. You see, it was not man that asked for Jesus to come. Observe that very well. Read the fall of man. Man did not ask for Jesus to come. You know, the fall of man is a very tremendous story. You know, anytime you study that place, there is one thing you should see. The love of God. You see, when man failed, watch the next thing that came out of God's mouth was the plan to redeem man. When man rebelled against God, the first thing that came out of God's mouth, the first prophetic word that came out of his mouth was to set into motion the forgiveness of sin. Come on, do you understand that? So, immediately it happened. You see? So, John looked at Jesus and said, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb that came from God, who taketh away the sin of the world. So, man did not ask for Jesus to come. Jesus came by himself. Come on. Man did not ask for Jesus to come. Man did not ask for God to set into motion the redemption of man. Jesus came by himself. So when John looked at Jesus, John said, this is the man. This is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So Jesus took our sins away. That is one of the major purposes Jesus came to do. That will be one of the major things he came to this place to do. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5. Oh, glory to God. I have the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5. Oh. Now, this verse is talking about Jesus. Just listen closely to this. Ephesians 3, verse 5. And you know that Jesus was manifested to do what? Come on, look into your Bible to do what? To take away our sin. And in him is what? Is no sin. So the reason why Jesus was manifested was for this thing, to take away sin. So Jesus came to bring into manifestation that nature of God that has to do with the forgiveness of sin. So Jesus was the manifestation of God's nature. Jesus, so in Jesus, we can see God's nature actually being materialized in a bodily form. Come on, do you understand that? So in Jesus, Jesus was manifested to take away our sins. And in him, there is no sin. So as we are coming to Jesus, Jesus made sure that he took away all the sin so that in him, there will not be any sin. Come on, do you understand that now? So all the sin. So the God that forgives all the trespasses in God, in Christ, was forgiving all our sins. It is just his nature. It is just his nature. You see, we've preached this gospel and we've seen this simple forgiveness of sin get men saved. We've seen it get men saved every day on the streets. Just this simple message. No, it's amazing. This is just the gospel. There is nothing else. It's just the gospel. The gospel is that God is a loving God, that God is a God that has the forgiveness of sin, and that God looked at man, why men were still in darkness and in sin, why we are yet sinners, Jesus died for us. And if you believe this thing, you become saved. Very simple. One of the simplest decisions you can ever make. I'm telling you, when I understood the gospel, I wondered why didn't I get saved, even though they gave birth to me. Because it's very simple to understand. Even the guy that understands simple, mommy, daddy, can understand the gospel. Very simple to understand. This is the gospel for you. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. Glory to God. Hebrews 9, verse 11. Come on, are you there? All right, so we're going to read down to verse 16. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this beauty. Verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. By his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. So, by his own blood, by his own blood, by his own life, Jesus entered once into the holy place, having obtained what? Eternal redemption for who? For us. So Jesus, by his own blood, not by the blood of a goat or that of a calf or that of a sheep, by his own blood, he entered into that holy place. And when he entered, he obtained. Come on, you need to begin to see God's nature. He obtained eternal redemption, not for himself, not for something else. He obtained eternal redemption for us, for you, for I. So everything that Jesus went through from the cross, to the grave, to the throne, he did it for you and for me. This is the kindness of God. This is just the kindness of God. When God did us this, you see, everything that Jesus went through, oh glory to God, everything that Jesus went through was for you and for me. In him, there is forgiveness of sin. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of sprinkling the unclean, sanctify it to the purification of the flesh. Verse 4. How much more shall the blood of Christ? How much more shall the blood? Excuse me. Okay, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, put your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Look at verse 15. Come on, right there. Pay your close attention. Don't be distracted. Verse 15. And for this cause, this same Jesus is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive. Come on, did you see that? They which are called, that is you and I, right? Might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Look at verse 16. For where a testament is, there must also be a necessity of the death of the testator. So you must begin to understand that, you see, Jesus came that we might receive, that we might obtain eternal redemption for us. So every process that Jesus took was to bring out and to manifest this nature of God. You see, as a believer, you must begin to see God. See, I shout this every day. You must begin to see God as that God that forgives continuously. As that God that has forgiveness as his nature. I'm telling you, as that God that has forgiveness as his nature. I've seen believers go from one sin to the other, as if their sin is their second name. But then when they still come, I still tell them the same thing. God is not mad at you. God is not angry at you. Actually, God is extending the arm of forgiveness. God is reconciling the world to himself. That is God for you. When God appears in a sin, he's actually extending forgiveness. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Very popular Bible passage. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love. Herein is love. You see, this is the definition of love. Hallelujah. This is the definition of love. Herein is love. Not that we loved God. I love how John used to write. John said, not that we loved God. Not that we did something for God. No. Excuse me, but that he loved us and sent his son to be what? Come on, to be what? To be the propitiation for our sins. So this is love. This is love made perfect. This is the definition of love. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but then he loved us and extended that his nature. He gave us that his nature. What is that nature? He gave us and he made Christ to be the propitiation for our sins. So we, with or without your love for God, with or without your plea for forgiveness, with or without you saying sorry, Christ is the propitiation for your sins. You see, whether you like it or not, it is true. Amen. Did you hear what I said? whether you like it or not, it is true. Amen. So Christ is the propitiation for your sins. So this is not that we love God. Okay, look at chapter 2 of that same First John. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, glory to God. Chapter 2. Look at verse 1. Okay. I should be living here any moment from now. Amen. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Hallelujah. So John said, my little children, I write to you so that you will not sin. But then, if by any means, by accident, by coincidence, by omission, by commission, knowingly or unknowingly, if by any means anyone sin, if any man sin, we have an advocate to the Father. If by any means any man sin, we have an advocate. Who is that advocate to the Father? Jesus Christ, the righteous. Hallelujah. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 now says, and he is the propitiation for our sins. So if by any means any man commits sin, we have an advocate to the Father. If by any means there's an advocate to the Father. You know, God is actually showing us his kindness. God is showing us his nature. God is telling you, this is me. Come on, do you understand what I'm trying to say? This is God. This is God. This is God. You see, remove that mindset of God that you have. You see, one of the prayers that I prayed concerning this way, that I prayed, you see, that as we have caught every wrong doctrine that we have about God as first potatoes by the door side, and we will enter the meeting venue with a clear mind to know who God really is. Come on, do you understand what I'm trying to say? So drop every perspective that you have about God. Drop everything that you think you know about God. Just drop them. Just drop them. This is God. I'm not showing you God. I'm showing you a God that is full of mercy, full of forgiveness of sin, plenteous, plenteous of mercy, big of mercy, covered in mercy. What other adjective? He is mercy himself. He is the forgiveness of sin. You know, when you see, when you study what happened at the Mount of Calvary, you will really understand the love of God. I'm telling the truth. When you understand what happened at that cross, you understand the love of God. You see, you understand that the forgiveness of sin is actually not supposed to be. You don't get it? Because you are, if you know the level of your sin, you will know the kind of high jump that God took. You know that thing is high jump. You see, a songwriter called this reckless love. Very big reckless. Even myself cannot even take it. With the love of God shed abroad in my heart. I don't even know. I will think about it 2 times. But God was able to take that high jump, that high risk. While we were yet sinners, while we transgressed again, he still offered the payment for our sins. You know the funny thing? God was not sure that you get saved. I understand. Because it was dependent on you to decide whether to believe or not. You know that? God will not force you. He will not push and say, after everything I've done, Jesus will now come and take risk and come to this earth and die. You now decide that you not believe. You must believe today. If it is me that is God, everybody on earth, you must enter heaven. I can make everything in me. You will decide that you not get saved. Hey. But then you see, this is where you see God's love. Where you see God's love is, after everything that God did for man, after dying on the cross for man, after extending that forgiveness of sin to man, he still sent messengers to that same man to preach the same gospel. So Paul said, for we've received, it has been committed unto us, the ministry of reconciliation. So God reconciled man, and he still sent messengers of reconciliation to that same man to accept. And you will see some, I don't want to use some words on these holy people. You see some sinners, people will be preaching to them every day by day. They will still refuse in their hearts that they will not be saved. I don't know if I have met sinners like that. Oh, you've not met people. They will look you eyeball to eyeball and tell you, no matter what God did, I will not be saved. But then you see the love of God. He will still be sending men to them every day. You see, they turn on the radio. One pastor is here preaching. Say, what is this one? They off it. They enter that public bus. Glory to God. A believer is a driver. He will put on a message. They say, oh God, let me go down. They will go down. As they are going down, they are passing a shop that is playing a Christian song, talking about the love of God. God is reaching out to them every day. Even though he was the one that died for them, he's still reaching out to them. He's still trying to call them to salvation. That is the nature of God. The forgiveness is just God's nature. It's just God's nature. You see, when you look at God, you should be seeing a God that has the forgiveness of sin as his nature, not as a second nature. He shows it to man, and he has shown it to you. Hallelujah. He has shown it to you by believing in what Jesus did on the cross. You have received this forgiveness of sin. And then let me shock you. God does not change his mind. God does not change his mind. I will say, God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he a son of man that he should repent. God does not change his mind. If he has given you the forgiveness of sin, he can never take it back. He can never. In fact, he can't even think about it. He can't even think about it. He can never take it back. Hallelujah. Oh, some people are already giving me signal. Praise God. So let's move. Let's move. Hallelujah. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 42. Acts chapter 10, verse 42 and 43. I have the forgiveness of sins. I have the forgiveness of sins. Oh, my Father is a kind God. My Father is a forgiving God. Always forgiving men. Always forgiving men. Not willing that every sinner might be destroyed. Not willing. Never his heart's desire. Never his heart's desire. Always willing that all men might come to salvation. Praise God. Acts chapter 10, verse 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the church of quick and dead. Look at verse 43. To him, that is to Jesus, gave all the prophets witness that through the name of Jesus, whosoever believes in him shall receive the remission of sin, shall receive the forgiveness of sin. So to every man that believes in Jesus, to every man that believes in the name of Jesus, that man has received the forgiveness of sin. Come on, have you believed? That means you've received the forgiveness of sin. You've received the remission of sins. You see, God is not counting your sin against you anymore. Come on, you did not hear what I said. God is not counting your sins against you anymore. He can never, he will not. He can't even think about it. He will not count your sins against you. Look at Colossians chapter 1 verse 12. Very popular Bible passage. I love it very well. Paul was writing Colossians 1 verse 12. 12, 13 and 14. He said, giving thanks to the Father who has made us mere to be partakers of the inheritance in Christ in the light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption. Glory to God. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. So in Christ we have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of sin. Come on, just brush with me. Go to chapter 2. Look at verse 13. You must be fast. You must be fast with me. Go to verse 2. Look at verse 13. That's Colossians 2 verse 13. And you, being dead in your sin. Glory to God. Being dead in your sin. And the uncircumcision of your flesh. Has he quickened together with him? Has he made that life with him? Doing what? Come on, look into your Bible. Doing what? Having forgiven you all your trespasses. So when you were dead in your sin, Christ, God, through Christ, quickened you in those sins and forgave you all your trespasses. And like Papa said, something new started in your life. A new you came into the sin. You see, the new you that came into the sin had no record of sin. The new you that came into the sin had no record of sin. The new you that came into the sin has the forgiveness of sin. So if you are here, you are a believer, I have good news for you. You know that good news? You have the forgiveness of sins. I am telling you one of the things you have. You have the forgiveness of sins. Finally, let me show you this. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 9. We're going to read closely from verse 9 to verse 18. So I need you to open your Bible. Be seeing it. Be seeing what Christ is saying. Let it not be what this pastor is reading from the stage. No. Let it be not what he's reading from the stage. No. It has to be what he has seen in the world. Then said Jesus, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he might establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus once for all. Verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering the same sacrifices which cannot take away sin. But this man, after he has offered how many sacrifices? One sacrifice for sins forever. Sat down at the right hand of the Father. Verse 13. For henceforth, expecting till all his enemies be made his footstool. Verse 14. Oh, glory to God. Glory. For by one offering. far by one offering. He has perfected them, those. Glory to God. He has perfected forever those that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness for us. So the Holy Spirit is a witness. He's bearing witness to those things. The Holy Ghost is a witness to us. For after all he has said before, verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, hear the Lord. I'll put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities. Hey! And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Their sins and iniquity. You know, there's a way Papa used to be. Papa used to say, it's just as if Jesus washed the memory of God. Their sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. Not today, not tomorrow, not when we get to heaven, no more. Come on, tell your neighbor no more. Their sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. Look at verse 18. And where there is the remission of sins, there is henceforth no more offering for sin. There is henceforth no more offering for sin. No more offering. There is nothing else you can do. That. In fact, when you do something, you are actually making the offering useless. There is nothing else you can do. In fact, don't add, don't remove. Leave it like that. Amen? Leave it like that. There is no more offering. There is no more offering. There is nothing else you can do that is enough. Christ has done it once and for all. So when he was done, he now sat down at the right hand of Christ. And you will see Paul writing, for you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. See, that is where we are. Glory to God. Come on, that is where we are. Glory to God. I have the forgiveness of sin. Come on, say it like me. Say, I have the forgiveness of sin. Come on, stand on your feet wherever you are. I have the forgiveness of sin. Oh, in Romans chapter 8, Paul was writing from verse 1. Paul said, now, henceforth, there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let no man condemn you. No, for henceforth, there is no more. No more. You've received the forgiveness of sin. Come on, open your mouth and pray in the Holy Ghost. Open your mouth and begin to appreciate God. Open your mouth and begin to appreciate God. Tell him, Father, thank you. Come on, open your mouth and begin to appreciate God. Come on, I want to hear. Open your mouth and begin to appreciate God. Is this how you appreciate God? Come on, open your mouth and begin to appreciate God.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.